The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
When my now 18-year-old child, Delia, was small, my husband, Ken, and I had promised them a trip to a fine dining establishment owned by one Charles Entertainment Cheese. Sorry, that's his full Christian name. I don't mean to be so formal on a night like this. You likely know this gentleman best by his stage name, Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. If you're a parent, you are likely right now cringing at the mere thought of having to go to Chuck E. Cheese in an almost reflective empathy, in a kind of way that I imagine veterans of the same war might do upon meeting each other. Just a deep understanding that you've been through something, you've seen some things. But for those of you who have blessedly never been to the baffling ordeal that is a Chuck E. Cheese, allow me to paint a picture for you. It is billed as a pizza parlor slash arcade for kids. But what it actually is a germ-infested, eardrum-popping, light-flashing, child-sized casino built to overstimulate, over-caffeinate, and over-sugar-saturate. Get the picture? Their tagline is, where a kid can be a kid. That may well be true, but it's also where adults go to be overcharged for cheap pizza and to completely disassociate. Now, in the best of times, you might be able to tell I find Chuck E. Cheese to be bombastic. But this occasion, my friends, was not the best of times. Sadly, we had recently had a family member who was soon to pass away. It was the Christmas season, which in my profession is, you know, busy. We had been without power for over a week because of a freak winter storm that they had dubbed Frankenstorm. It was bad. And this meant our au pair was taking some time off. By au pair, I mean our television wasn't working. So we needed a place that was warm and fun for Delia and where we could charge our devices. But what really put this visit over the edge was the raging sinus infection that was my plus one to this pain party. Word of advice to you, my friends. If you remember nothing else from my sermon tonight, let it be these two lessons. One, in Jesus, we've been given a hope that can transcend all our deepest fears, pains, and doubts. Amen. And the second lesson is this. Never, ever go to a Chuck E. Cheese having just taken extra strength cold medicine. Mark me. Don't do it. Amen again. Amen again. So there I am, sitting in a plastic booth located in the ninth ring of hell, trying to get my head to stop spinning, when I kid you not, an unassuming curtain to my left parted, revealing an animatronic band that suddenly sprung to life. They were robots designed to move and make it look like they were really singing, talking, and playing instruments to a very eerie effect. The titular mouse himself was there, a chicken, a purple monster, a dog with a southern drawl, and for some reason, an Italian chef on the drums all lit up and said, "Are you kids ready to rock?" "I most certainly am not," I said to no one in particular as I continued my slow descent into madness. Started doing some kind of lounge act routine that oscillated between terribly lame jokes and puns and watered down pop songs. Just when I thought I could take it no more, Charles announced that they were going to take it down a notch and sing a real pretty one. And they started singing, perhaps the last thing I ever expected to hear in this setting. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Do you know this hymn? You may not, because it's not in popular rotation much, but I encourage you to listen to it on the ride home. Bing Crosby's version is the gold standard, or at least it was until Chucky's band decided to cover it. To hear it in that setting, though, was weird for several reasons. The first, that it's based on a poem called Christmas Bells, written by the renowned American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow on Christmas Day, 1863. Now, given that the band's other source material up until this point had been Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe and the Baby Shark song, and what can only assume was a joke-a-day calendar, Longfellow seemed kind of highbrow for the robot band's repertoire. But it was also strange that of all the holiday songs, the programmers chose this one to put into these robots' mouth. Some of the verses are straight up bummers. Let me tell you, Jingle Bell Rock, this is not. At 57 years old, Longfellow wrote it following two family tragedies that were horrific. The first was the death of his wife, who died after her dress accidentally caught fire. Longfellow himself was severely burned trying to save her, and that's why he grew his famously long beard to hide his scars. Then in March 1863, his eldest son, Charles, joined the Union Army without his father's permission. And then on December 1st, Longfellow received the news that Charles had been severely wounded in battle. On Christmas morning that year, as Longfellow heard the church bells ringing and the people singing peace on earth, he felt the message was a mockery, given the violence of the Civil War that was still raging in the nation. Listen to this stanza. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." What were robots doing playing this song at Chuck E. Cheese? I just didn't know. Some mysteries are far too great for the human mind to comprehend, I suppose. But I can tell you this. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit, or maybe it was the cough medicine, but I swear, it was there in what I thought was a pit of my own despair, watching those robots sing this Civil War hymn, that made me really listen to the lyrics like never before. And it moved me. So help me God, it moved me there in that Chuck E. Cheese. Because it was there, in my grief, my pain, my confusion and anxiety, it was there surrounded by what seemed like a literal metaphor for what a bombastic, crude, commercialistic, and harsh world that we live in. A world that is weary with wars, violence, political unrest. It was there that the turn from weariness to hope was made in me. Longfellow in his poem keeps writing that the bells do indeed keep tolling, even with the pain, hate, and tragedy that we can see in the world. The story of the birth of Jesus, of Emmanuel, of God come to be with us, keeps being told year after year after year, helping this weary world to heed the angel's song and rejoice, even in the midst of darkness. His words continue. "Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." One may have thought from his life that he wouldn't believe that peace was possible. Heck, I wouldn't have thought that peace was possible for me to find, given where I sat at that moment. Perhaps you feel the same tonight. But the story that we return to every Christmas, the story of the bells of our faith ringing out, of the angels crying out, that we've been telling for 2,000 years, reminds us that peace is anything but an impossibility. It tells us that peace is God's inevitability. It is God's plan, God's desire. It is the story of Jesus. Because in Jesus, we see that God will not let anything have the final word over that peace. Not our wars, not pain, not grief. Those things are real, yes. But the peace of God, the peace that can reach us when we think nothing else can, the peace that will outlast any human evil, the peace of God which passes all understanding, that peace is the one that finds us again and again and again every single Christmas. So we are reminded that there is no chaos too big, no mess too big, no pain too big, to keep God from offering this weary world what it truly needs to rejoice. peace on earth, goodwill for all. So let us see it tonight as a people who have a deep understanding, that have been through something this year, whether it was this year, this month, or this week. Tonight, let us be the people who let Christ break into our hearts and once again hear that hope, peace, joy, and love. If I could experience it in that Chuck E. Cheese, one of the most unexpected places I can imagine, so can we here. Friends in Jesus, we've been given a hope that transcends all our deepest fears, pains, and doubts. So tonight, in the midst of the chaos of the days ahead, I invite you to pause, to look, and listen for this most incredible gift that rings out once again. I'm going to give Longfellow the final words. He closes his hymn with that very reminder of the peace that is brought out with Jesus. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen.